Oh my goodness, God is so good. He is so good. I believe there's a freedom in this place today to experience the joy of the Lord. We've been praying and on Wednesdays, and I've been praying in my personal prayer time that every soul that comes through those doors, we've been talking about joy a lot, will experience the joy of the Lord. Supernaturally experience the joy of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Well, let me start off with that foundational scripture that we've been talking about in Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. We'll just go there. Romans 14, the joy of the Lord. Romans 14. I'm giving y'all time to get there so I can get there myself. Romans 14, verse 17 says, in the King James, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And put up the New International Version of that, please. If I can read it, the NIV. Let me get there. I got to have to walk all the way down there just to see it. NIV. Do we have NIV? No, we don't have NIV. All right. Well, let me read the NIV to you. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Joy in the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. I thank you that there is a spirit of joy in the hearts of every believer under the sound of my voice today. I believe that, Lord, when they came through those doors, they dropped everything that had been distracting them or bothering them or oppressing them, Lord, would be lifted and removed, and that spirit of joy come upon them. So I thank you and I praise you for joy in this house. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I know last week, what was Danny Johnson talking about? Fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. I listened to most of that message. What a blessing Danny Johnson is. And so I'm going to try to tie these two things together. Fresh anointing. What does that have to do with joy? Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Amen. How many know that Christ is not the last name of Jesus? I know we say that all the time. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. But that is not his last name. In fact, what does that name Christ mean? Man, y'all are on board. In case you didn't hear that, it's the anointed one and his anointing. The anointed one and his anointing. And what does anointing mean? Well, this is a translation of the original Greek. It means smeared on and rubbed in. Smeared on and rubbed in. Let me give you a picture of what that looks like. I just said I was down last week visiting with my family. My nephew graduated from high school, and me and my two brothers and my dad had a wonderful opportunity to go out on my brother's boat. He's got a 30-foot Pearson sailboat. It used to be my dad's. It looks a lot better than when my dad had it. My brother has put some money and some time and some elbow grease into making that thing look good. So anyways, we're out on the boat, right? And we're out on the Charleston Harbor. Beautiful. Anybody been to Charleston Harbor, seen the Battery down there and Fort Sumter? Sumter? Yeah, Fort Sumter out there in the middle of the water. Man, it's a beautiful place. Just beautiful. So we're out on this sailboat, and it's hot. The sun is baking on us. I said, I need some sunscreen. My little white lily body needs a little sunscreen. I'm not like my wife. My wife and Levi can go out and sit in the sun all day, and they come back dark. I go out and sit in the sun all day, I'm like a tomato. I'm red and burnt. They get darker with the sun, I get redder with the sun. So anyways, he's got this, I don't know, 150 block or whatever it is, lotion. I squirt that thing and I'm rubbing. My face gets really bad on my ears and my nose. And so I'm rubbing that on there. And all of a sudden, my brother looked at me and started laughing. What are you saying? He said, "Man, you look like a hockey goalie with that stuff on." I had that white stuff all over my face and said, "Well, you look like a woman putting that mask on for night to go to bed and peel it off." He says, "It's white, it's covered. You got to rub that in." So I start rubbing that in and smearing it on and rubbing it in. And I rubbed and rubbed until eventually it worked its way down into my skin. But it made me think of that. The anointed one and his anointing. His anointing smeared on and rubbed in. Oh, my. What a picture of that. Amen? So I did that. I smeared it on my face and I rubbed it in. And that is how joy really is supposed to be in us. Smeared on, rubbed in, so it won't come off. You know, when you rub in that sun cream, it won't. You can go in the water, it doesn't come off, it stays on you. And that's how joy is supposed to be, when it's smeared on and rubbed in us, not supposed to depart from us. Remember we talked about that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit? And if you're born again, the Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. So He is inside of you. So that all His fruit is inside of you. Right? We talked about that. And nothing can take that away from you lest you give it away. Nothing can take that away lest you give it away. That's how joy is supposed to be. It becomes a part of us. So let me explain. What is the anointing of the anointed one, Jesus? Let's let the Word answer that for us. Turn to Psalms 45. The joy of the Lord. Oh, the joy of the Lord. Psalm 45. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV, so I don't know why I'm turning my Bible there, because it's King James and Amplified only. But we don't have the NIV up there. I'm just going to have to read it. Thank God I printed it out. Psalm 45, verse 6 and verse 7. What is the anointed? What is the anointing of the anointed one? And we know the anointed one is Jesus. What is that anointing? Verse 7 says, "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Let me read that again. "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." We're talking about a fresh anointing that Danny was talking about. We're talking about joy. Then Paul quotes this in Hebrews and clarifies it, that it's Jesus that this scripture is talking about in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. And I'm just going to read it out of the NIV. You can follow along in what version you have. They'll be similar, but not exact. Chapter 1, starting in verse 9, says, "In the past..." No, I'm going to read verse 1 on down to 9. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days..." Somebody say, "We're in the last days." "But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have become your Father'? Or again, 'I will be His Father and He will be my Son'? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, 'Let all God's angels worship Him.' And speaking of the angels, He says, 'He makes His angels spirits and His servants flames of fire.' But about the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions. How? We know he's talking about Jesus here. How has he done that? And it says, by anointing you with the oil of joy. That anointing of the oil of joy upon Jesus set him far above the angels. Set him above them, his companions. Well, if Jesus is anointed with oil of joy and set above the angels, and if Christ be in you, then you are set far, high above your companions. Those without joy, that is. If Christ be in you, then the joy of the Lord must be in you. Amen? And you are set high above your companions. Remember that scripture we shared in John 15, verse 10? And this will be out of the Amplified, so I can go there. John 15, verse 10. Reads like this. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. The joy of the Lord inside of us. Not just any joy, but the joy of the Lord inside of you. How did this get in us? Well, it's that fresh anointing we're talking about. It got smeared on. It got rubbed in, just like that lotion. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit took up dwelling inside of you, you received that joy. You received it in Christ. Amen? And if it's in you, then it rightfully belongs to you. Remember I shared that example about the thief coming in and trying to take your TV? I mean, that TV, you paid for it. You bought it. You brought it home. You set it up. You spent 4 hours trying to figure out how to make it work, them new smart TVs. You put some time in, hooked it all up to your cables or your internet or whatever. It's yours. It's rightfully yours. You bought it. You paid for it. Then why would you let a thief come in and take it?
That's right.
Yeah. If you're there watching your TV and that thief comes in the door, says, I'm taking your TV. You say, here you go. Here's the remote. Let me open and hold the door for you while you go. No, we don't do that. The same thing with your joy. Why do you allow the enemy to steal your joy? You allow it. You allow it. We blame too many things on the devil. Say, oh, well, the devil took my joy. He just came right in and took. No, you gave it to him. You gave it to him. Why do we need joy? You heard it. Joy is our strength. Our strength to endure all the things of this negative world that's coming down and putting pressure on us. The joy of the Lord will deliver you out of that. All these things that want to steal and attack and compromise and kill our joy. The news you hear, you know, the weather. How many are addicted to looking at the weather? How many are addicted to looking at the weather? And saying, oh, Lord, I can't go outside today. It's going to rain. 10 days from now, it's going to rain at 12 o'clock. We can't have our picnic. 10 days from now, Judy, because it's going to rain at 12 o'clock. That's what your phone says. Baby, you know I love you. I'm speaking to somebody else in here too, don't worry. Trying to buffer that, aren't I, G? So we have all these pressures coming at us, and they're mostly put on ourselves. We put them on ourselves. But sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. We give him too much credit when really we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. But, you know, it comes with knowledge. When you have knowledge and understanding of the one who is inside of you, and when that attack comes or that pressure comes or that oppression tries to settle in on you, and you know that the joy of the Lord is inside of you, that it's yours, that you rightfully have access to it, then you don't let those things affect you.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
You say, no, you're not going to steal my joy today. You're not going to come rise up. And I know you're out there. I'm aware of it. I know the tricks and ploys that you try.
Yes.
But I'm not going to allow you to steal my joy today. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's mine. Amen?
Yes.
It makes me strong. So remember what I shared, just kind of a recap, that when I said that, you know, we're sowing this word about joy in your life. We're getting that knowledge that joy is yours. And I said four things were going to happen. Guaranteed it. Now, you don't hear guarantee much anymore. But I guaranteed one of four things were going to happen to you. Y'all remember? Well, you can just go back to this parable of the sower, right? Whenever the word is sown, one of four things has to happen, biblically. What? Immediately. Immediately, the enemy will come and try to steal that word from you. Immediately, he will come in and say, you know, or you just, it's there and it's gone. You don't give another thought to it. Kelvin was talking about, you know, meditating and he didn't say it quite this way, but meditating on the words that have come forth. You know, so often in our society, we want to move and jump to the next new thing. Good Lord, all the nuggets that have been sown over the years or even last week that are right there for you to meditate on and apply in your life, you don't need to go to the next thing. You could spend an eternity right there with that one nugget. One word from God can change your life forever. Amen? But what happens? The enemy comes in immediately and just steals that word from you. Just plucks it right out. You don't give it another thought. You don't. The word is not even there anymore for you to apply it. Or you get persecuted because of it. You go out and you're like, whoa, the joy of the Lord, man. And you're singing and you're dancing out there. And somebody looks at you and says, what is going on with you? Don't you know how to act in a restaurant? Don't be doing that. And you get offended. You say, well, maybe I better not be like that. Huh? Or the cares of the world come in and choke it out. The word gets settled in you, and you go home, and your vacuum breaks, or your water pipe leaks, or your house floods, or you got to go to 15 different events with your child, or the cares of the world. You know what I'm saying? The cares of the world come in and choke that word out of you.
Or the weather changes.
Or the weather changes. Or you look at the weather. And that tiny little screen right there says, don't go outside your house. Lightning will strike you. I see the thunderbolt right there on the screen. or, and I hope this applies to all of you, That word gets sown in the good ground of your heart and produces fruit.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
2 weeks ago, Sunday, how many of y'all went out of here and produced the fruit of joy? How many went out and produced the fruit of joy somewhere, somehow, and blessed someone or blessed yourself? Sometimes I laugh at myself and just bless myself all over. Nikki says, yep, he sure does. And he's the only one laughing too sometimes. But, don't come under condemnation.
Amen.
If you haven't let your little light shine, if you haven't experienced the joy of the Lord like you know you ought to, I'm going to give you two keys. Psalm chapter 19. And this will be out of the NIV. So I just, Caleb likes the NIV, and we've been doing study sessions in the mornings and stuff. So I've been doing the NIV, and I never have read the NIV much before. But so he's kind of gotten me into that, and I think it was already on my phone. So when I was looking at these verses, they were in the NIV. That's why y'all didn't need to get that explanation, but you did. So Psalms 19, verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Key one. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. When you read your word, it brings joy to your heart. So if you've lost your joy, here's one thing you can do. What? Read your word. Read the word of God. I guarantee you. Oh, here we go with that big word again. Guarantee. If you will read your word on a regular basis, it'll bring joy to your life. It will bring joy to your life. And why? How can I say? Well, because it'll instruct you. It'll guide you. It'll show you things. It'll answer questions you have. It'll give you direction.
Yes.
And what? How can I put this? When we know what we're doing, doesn't that bring joy? I mean, I'm not saying that right. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. When we are confident in who we are and what we do and what we say, I think there's great joy in that. I think there's great joy in that. Can I say it like that? Key number two. Turn to Psalm 51. And look at verse 11. Start in verse 11. Psalm 51, verse 11 says, out of the NIV, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you." How are sinners going to be converted and returned to God? By the joy they see inside of you. What did it say? Restore, didn't it? He's talking to a believer here. He says, "Take not your Holy Spirit away from me." So they already possess the Holy Spirit. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." The joy of your salvation. How many remember when they first got born again? The joy. Oh, the joy. The joy that was in your heart. The joy that just came out of your mouth. The joy. And then we are to teach others His way. I'm telling you what, there is no greater joy in my heart when I share God's word with someone and they receive it. Pastor Rob and I had a tremendous experience this past week with an individual. And all I did was crack the door. I cracked the door open and Pastor Rob stepped right into it and ministered to this man. And he received Jesus. And the joy that welled up on the inside of me. We were jumping and hooping and hollering right here in the office. It was amazing when you share the Word of God with someone and they receive it. The joy that wells up on the inside of you. It's an amazing thing. A life changed. A soul plucked out from the pit of hell. Translated into the kingdom of God. Just imagine the angels rejoicing. Taken out of a spirit of religion. Yes. Out of a spirit of religion. To have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about that personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to give you all the details about it, but I will tell you this. To give you some more joy. We don't have it ratified, but we have a contract on the land. And I told that individual, I said, the land aside, the contract aside, the money aside, this was the most important thing that happened today. Him recognizing Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. Amen? What a glorious day. What a glorious day. Hallelujah. Yes, he is good. Amen? So, this has been brief, but let me leave you with this. Understand who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Understand who lives inside of you. And understand the benefits that come with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Joy is yours. You are anointed with the oil of joy.
Thank you, Father.
The same anointing that anointed the Messiah. He is the anointed one. And it's his anointing. That anointing of the oil of joy.
Thank you,
Father. That changes lives.
Thank you, Father.
That changes lives.
Yes.
Your countenance can change a life. Your words can change a life. Your actions can change a life.
Yes.
And we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds.
That's right.
And in our heart.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Every day. Every day. Remind yourself every day, I have the joy of the Lord. I have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord. And that joy is going to change lives. When that rises up inside of you, when you confess that and it rises up inside of you, people are going to take notice. And their life will be changed.
Amen.
Because of it.
Amen.
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 Amen.